What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, and now the one and only Andy Cortez is going to give us an impression of Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he works at Cold Stone Creamery in Toledo, Ohio.
Otherwise, it was Stone Cold Very Creamery specific. Steve Austin.
Is that going to be strawberry or not?
He's the man of a million voices, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like he's in the room with us now.
Oh, my God. Crushed it, yeah, you know? I didn't know if you could top Rosie O'Donnell with a flat tire in Tucson, Arizona, but you did. You crushed that.
The sun's hot out here.
That is the energy we have, ladies and gentlemen. I already said I'm Greg. I already said that's Andy. So let's talk about the producer / seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Greg. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Can you believe it's Monday?
I can. It comes and goes. It comes and goes.
See, I'm in this weird time warp. I talked about this a little bit on Gregway today, of course, my exclusive show on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Can you walk in real quick, Greg, and say, I'd like to order a chocolate ice cream.
Do you want me to actually walk in?
Yeah, walk in. Oh, no, just pretend.
Okay, yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Little door. Oh, man, yeah, a lot of options here, and you got the stone. And now Carter, my friend, who walked in with me as well. You know, if you tip, they have to sing.
That works.
Well, you know what? I'm not ready for that. Bald sir with the goatee. Can I get a chocolate?
And that's the back of the line.
What did I do?
You're trying to order, but you're not in line yet.
Well, I feel like me and Carter, you know, are there a lot of people in the store? When I came in, I thought it was
are we just normal people?
Oh my god. Anyways, it's a weird one for me because I got my dad and his girlfriend in town, right? And so I'm running these half days where we took Benny to swim class today and went to the Discovery Museum. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you bring Benny home, you feed everybody, put Benny into nap time, and usually that would be, you know, my nap time, some quiet time on the weekend. But no, I was gassing up, get to work, we gotta go, you know what I mean? So I'm in this weird half in, half out. What day is it? They don't feel like anything anymore. They're all just running together. What do I do?
Time means nothing to me. I don't work in a normal job like you guys.
Jesus Christ. Everybody, this is Carter Harrell. And I know what you're saying. I hate guests on the show. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Why do they do
Everyone in the chat's like,
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kinda Funny podcast. Kinda Funny. All right? Carter's worked for us many times. Many times. Right, Tim Gettys?
That is so true. So true.
I get the best phone calls ever from Tim.
What time of night do you get these phone calls?
Two or three, I would say.
Dude.
Hey, so here's the thing.
Okay.
And they're like, that's pretty good so far. Yes.
No pressure.
I bet Andy could absolutely kill a Tim Gettys phone call impression because they're all the same thing.
So, what are you doing? How you doing? That's usually how it starts. Yeah. I'm like, boy.
Look, I'm thinking. Succession. And I'm like, yeah.
So
but
Carter,
usually is all it takes because, yeah, so many, many moons ago, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was, we were gearing up for Screen Fast, the Kevin Coelho classic with Gary Whitta, me and Blessing, where we reviewed Sonic the Hedgehog on Screencast, but we called it Screen Fast.
Oh, my God.
And you just made a version of the KF jingle. And it was so good. It sounded like Sonic. And we're like, oh my God, we have to use this. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that we were like, let's go all in. Let's get new theme songs for all the shows. And you just kind of became my go-to guy. Like, I would just throw a couple words at you, like, Succession. And, like, 2 hours later, I just get a response that it's just the KF jingle done perfectly in the Succession style. So every single intro you've heard, I mean, for the most part, I'd say 98% of the intros of the last couple of years have been Carter Harrell, including the Kinda Funny podcast jam that welcomed
what a banger,
to this
right?
show. Yeah.
A funny story real quick about that Sonic intro, because I think I just DM'd Kevin or somebody saying, hey, I was messing around with this stuff. And I remember getting excited to post, you know, yeah, I got some music of Kinda Funny. And then you guys show up in these Sonic costumes, right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of dicks. A lot of bold.
I specifically had friends and family who I think thought I was on some like furry shit. Yeah. You know, they were like, oh, interesting programming there. I was glad for that. I was happy for that to be the first. Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely not the last. I mean, at this point, you must have made what?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's got to be. The folder keeps getting bigger and bigger, yes.
Yeah.
And so it's yeah, it's just the best call I could get. Because, yeah, it's every time it's some random, something new, Barbie this time.
I'd love to imagine, like, I picture Carter like Doctor Strange when he's in this sort of, like, when his face is, like, blurring and looking through all right. the different outcomes. Because, like, you must have a library of thousands upon thousands of sounds that you have
That's
to
true.
Go, what piano is this like? What
yeah.
drum do I need for this sound? And that's got to be really exciting and right. like cool to like nail the right one, yeah. but also like, God damn, what a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of the fun part, honestly, is like I'll usually just like basically reconstruct the actual theme of Succession or whatever the thing is. And yeah, it is kind of the fun of it, of like just finding the exact thing. And I'm sure you have kind of learned in this process that like those little details can kind of matter, how you'll say like, hey, can we add this little piano note from Succession? And then I'll add it and be like, oh yeah, that's totally. Because, you know, when you're not hearing the melody from the song, you don't necessarily put together when you're hearing the kind of funny melody.
Yeah, it's a rare balance too, because it's like normally what happens is we'll decide, okay, we're actually doing this screencast or this in review or whatever it is. And my first stop will be, I hit up Carter and I'm like, hey, can you make the music, whatever. And then immediately I hit up Cameron Kennedy and I'm like,
yeah,
we're thinking about this project for the motion graphics and all that. And Cameron will just start working on like the early like storyboarding stuff. But then the moment he gets the music from you, it just comes together in this like beautiful way. But it's funny because like the original jingle was actually from Corey McMaster.
Right.
That's his last name, right?
Mm-hmm.
McMaster. Yes, yeah. Fucking love that guy. He made the original, the kind of funny animated series theme song. Mm-hmm. And the jingle from the KF jingle is actually just like a line from the instrumental version of that song. It's just like a random bit of it. And you'd hear it in the credits of the animated series. They're like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you just expanded that a little bit into like more of like a jingle. And so you're just taking that jingle and applying it a bazillion different ways. It's so funny where we can't lose the jingle. It still needs to sound like kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But you need to have the moments of like, oh, clearly this is the MCU theme song. It's not just cinematic triumphant music. It's like, and those weird little details, like they're, I'd say 9 out of 10 times you send me shit and you always get the exact right things to pinpoint of like, clearly that's what this thing is. Like one of my favorites was the 21 Jump Street where it's like, let's just go with the real Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Cause that song plays and just like you nailed the instrumentation and the, I don't even know the words to describe it, but
You're nailing it.
Worked perfectly. But every once in a while, I'd say 1 out of 10 times, I'm like, I think it needs this, and then you add it. I'm like, oh baby, let's go.
I'd say this. I've been working with Tim for how long? Are we working together?
I don't know, 15.
We'll say 20 years,
30.
And we've had a lot of ups and downs at this company. A lot of successes. A lot of really great moments to celebrate. Nothing gets him more excited than a new company. Nothing. He has never. I'll see it in his eyes. He's like, Nick. Gotta come check this out. And I'm like, it's a new intro for this. Whatever we're doing.
Yeah, it's half the fun, right?
And usually they're really, really fun, with the rare exception of Jurassic Park. In which Cameron Kennedy would go fuck himself.
Oh, yes. This is with Nick, like. Yes, love that.
But they're all fun. They're all really cool.
So when we're not making you make KF jingles for all the shows, what do you do?
Well, a few different things. My main job is with a company called LifeScore, which is really cool. Great. It's literally, that's exactly what it is.
What'd
it's
basically right now. You know a lot about me. Score my life
bum,
right
bum,
now.
Bum, 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 no.
Thought it was going to be a number. I thought it was like Metacritic.
No, we're talking like movie scores. Yeah, so like, so we make, we call it adaptive music, which the best example of that is kind of AI-ish, but we're kind of, well, I'll get
these
there.
People.
It's AI in the way that video game music is AI. And
it's
that
dynamic.
It's reacting. It's basically video game music, but it can react to what you're doing in real life. So like your movement speed or your driving speed or your biometrics or the weather, different stuff like that. So yeah, we make music in like little building blocks that we have a AI-ish algorithm that can generate music on the fly.
That's cool.
In different levels of intensity. Yeah. The reason I say it's not totally AI is because it's real musicians like me that are making the music.
Yeah, I was just giving hard time. I'm not actually making
music scales.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense.
But I also kind of just do like some film scoring and game stuff and working with artists. Kind of a little bit of everything.
Okay.
But yeah.
Thanks for wasting your time with us so much.
Hey, no problem. It's my favorite job, so.
Take that life score. You know what I mean, Andy?
I know. Yeah,
if I take my hat off, does it look like you guys are on Hot Ones right now?
Oh, I can see that, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a black background. Sure. I'll bring some hot sauce next time.
Definitely.
Well, we got plenty sitting right here. When you put it back on, it kind of looks like your Barrett's older brother. You know, when you started with the hat obsession. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. When we had the three shot on Tim, Carter, and Nick, Greg tapped me on the arm and was like, look at Nick. And like, I don't know.
What? What about him?
Everyone, feel free to go back. When there was a point when you were talking to Tim and like you're having a conversation and Nick's just trapped in it. He's like, I don't know. Mom and dad are talking, but I you can see he drifted away and he came back and he started watching the chat. Like, it's a lot. This is a compliment. Because a lot of I had a high
what
school.
What am I supposed to do? Keep quiet unless you're sitting there.
Nick, I had a teacher in high school, Nick, and this teacher, he won my love once when he said he loved Ghostbusters,
sure.
And not like to my level of love Ghostbusters, but he loved it.
Well, no.
And one thing he said that I thought was interesting that I've done many times since is he's like, what I enjoy is you can just watch that movie and you can just watch Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can just watch even when he's not talking or doing he's doing something. Yeah. And I've done it with all the other Ghostbuster characters as well, right? You're a lot like Bill Murray in Ghostbusters, where I just want to watch Nick
because
he's up to something. I mean, see the wheels.
I feel like Nick right now. It's happening to me now.
I mean, it was like last week when Nick wasn't even on camera and he had drinking too much Prime energy drink and started looking at his hands and was having freak out moment.
So upset that wasn't actually on. It was scary. How are you feeling now? Are you feeling back in your hand?
Much better. It's one of those things where you reach your own mortality at a certain point where you think to yourself, I didn't think I had a threshold for caffeine. But Prime, I sure found that threshold last week.
Yeah.
And it's apparently 500 milligrams of caffeine or whatever the fuck's... I just saw another article.
Like, yeah.
It's a terror.
FDA trying to shut it down.
It's a lot.
I saw a TikTok where Logan Paul was all mad. He's like, how are they going to buy... how are they going to ban Prime in Canada? We didn't even sell in Canada. Mm. And then there's this girl. Like, and she's walked down the street into the Canadian shop she's at, and it's there.
Do you guys hear this new Diet Coke slander?
Oh, the aspartame?
That it's... there. I mean, they're like... You already knew this, but it definitely causes cancer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's... I will not stand for it, personally.
There you go.
I will have two Diet Coke.
It's an insult,
Greg, you've had cancer. Wouldn't you say that...
And I don't even... And for the record...
crisp Diet Coke is totally...
Well, here's the thing. I got cancer, and I never tasted it. I don't drink Diet Coke.
Well,
so settle, then. Smoke them if you got them, Diet Coke drinkers. You know what I mean?
That's what I told Kevin.
She's coming for you anyway. The sweet, horrible lady of cancer will find you, no matter what you do.
The sweet, horrible lady of cancer.
That's
a big caller. I'm awaiting it. Like
dude, if I get cancer...
The stuff that I just put in my body, like, there's no way... it's just like...
You're screwed. You're going to wake up one day, and your entire leg's just going to be a massive fucking growth, and you're going to be like, yeah, this is what...
But there's also a part of me that thinks it...
Make you stronger.
With it... Kind, you know, honestly, like, yeah, kind of follow me down that path. I know that sounds silly, right? But I feel like
cancer superhero is that where we're going?
No, I feel like with the amount of flaming hot fries and hot Cheetos that I put in my body, that I'm kind of like...
You're gonna Mr. Burns it.
Building up I've been kind of becoming more and more exposed to the bad stuff my whole life, so I'm kind of prepared for when it's like getting a little booster shot, you know what I mean?
I think there's two schools of thought on this.
Definitely did. Anybody follow that?
I'm missing the follow through.
I 100% followed you.
Like, I've been poisoning myself my whole life that I feel like I will be immune to poison when it's ready to hit.
You eat when you eat a little too much poison, right? You know how people go like, okay, I want to become immune to poison, so you poison yourself slowly over a period of time.
And then when
someone tries to poison you in the James Bond, you're like, hey, stupid, you're stupid. I've been doing this Iocane powder for years.
Exactly.
From Princess Bride. I'm right there with you, Andy. I understand what you're talking about, right?
Thank you.
There's two schools of thought on this. One is that you build up a tolerance to this stuff over years, and then you're fine. Or two, the more scientific, what the medical community says is, the more you build it up in your system, the more likely you are to get cancer.
That's definitely it. I'm probably just like on the other side of it, just trying to like justify, you know what I mean? Because I never did drugs. My vice was always
just
snacks. So cool.
My vice was snacks.
Snacky boy.
And it's going to come back to haunt me in a similar way to... You know, my friends
you're
back
tell
home.
Me Ambolina rolled into El Paso, Texas, and didn't do a fucking line, a whip in, and a bong.
Carabellum wasn't doing heroin.
I mean, yeah, they did. Yeah, for sure. Like, we were doing heroin all the time. But like, that's besides the point. Yeah.
Do you ever think? Do you ever wish? Like, I just want to know what's gonna come for me, so that I can just like do other stuff. Because I'm like, if I'm going to get cancer from Diet Coke, can I go back to smoking cigarettes? Can I just do that? Because I miss smoking cigarettes. I miss it every day of my life.
What if you quit Diet Coke, but it turns out you already got it from your past Diet Cokes?
Then I just go right back into it.
You quit for nothing.
Yeah, then I go right back into it. I start making the Diet Coke slushies like I used to make.
See, if you remember, Nick, there was a Weird Science TV episode where Gary and Wyatt got watches.
Wait a minute. Is he referencing the short-lived Weird Science TV show?
I don't think it was that short. It was on USA, and I want to say it was like 3 or 4 seasons.
Was it really?
Wow. I think it was. Yeah, I think you're right.
But anyways, they got watches at one point, and one told them, they each got individual watches for their fears, and one told, I'm going to fuck up it all. One told one of the guys when he was going to die, and the other told the other guy when he was going to have sex for the first time, when he's going to lose his virginity.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But it turned out at the end, the watches, when they came out, they were hot, and they both dropped them, and they put on the other watches.
Oh, no.
So it was like one guy was going to die in 99 years, he thought, and then the other guy was going to get laid in 3 days or whatever, but it was actually the opposite. Oh, but then they changed their fates because they were friends or something. I forget how the moral really worked. It didn't make sense.
I'm so happy it didn't end with one of them dying.
As a man who likes time travel, it didn't make a lot of sense how they changed their fates, but yeah, Chet, if I remember correctly, Chet had like an open propane tank in the car, and they almost lit a cigar. This is real. These are real Weird Science facts. 5 seasons.
Edited 98.
Now, Kevin, while you're here,
what?
Find out the one. Just Control F watch, like watches maybe even find and I'll
time travel.
Time travel movie.
It wasn't time travel.
Yeah, well, no, it was virginity. Virgin. Put virgin in.
Almost there with
the T. Google virgin.
There you go. I was looking at episode 9 of season, I don't know. Lisa gives the boys watches that count down to Wyatt's death and the loss of Gary's virginity. It was called Keeps on Ticking, everybody, if you want to watch that tonight.
That's incredible. I might go back and watch the show. I didn't.
Right after Suits.
Just a heads up. I mean, come on. We've been talking about, you know, hey. Going to be a dry period for In Review when the strike stuff's all over. It was even when it's going on or whatever.
True.
Weird Science TV show In Review, episode by episode.
I love this.
Weird Science.
And I want to say the next statement of my life, unironically, and I don't want to be judged about this.
That's fair.
Okay.
Good start.
I wish I had started recording myself watching Suits because I have had reactions to this show that I am not proud of, but that were incredible. I have gotten up and Suits screamed at moments in Suits. This shit, it gets crazy anime.
Nick walked in today and looked at me like, Tim, Suits gets crazy anime, man.
It gets crazy anime.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Would you believe, Andy, that there are like 10 law firms in New York that constantly try to screw each other over in a crazy epic competition to be who's going to be the top law firm in the top city in the top country in the world? Crazy.
What season?
I'm on season 7 now, out of 8.
Damn, I did not know there were that many. I only watched like the first.
Is it over or still going?
But it's still going. I got.
Suits is still a show.
Oh no! I'm sorry. My apologies. I'm still my watching of it is still. Oh, yeah. Obviously, no,
you're not you stopped until you're done.
No, yeah. But no, Suits ended I think in 2019.
So basically, what I just wanted to say before we
that's
get
last
back
thing I'll say about Suits.
But what I need is a you know these world scientists that say like,
weird
hey, if we don't stop our emissions by this and this date, we're totally fucked.
Yeah.
I need a scientist to go back in time with me and be like, if you don't stop eating hot Cheetos and hot fries and drinking soda by this date, then you're definitely screwed.
Yeah, you that's know, what
by,
I want.
By the year like 2003, if you don't lessen the input, then you're really, really fucked for the future. That's what I need.
Point of no return.
But since that's not happening, you might as well just
say fuck.
Dig in, right? Dive in. Yeah, exactly.
No scientists have shown it yet.
Calvin Perez in the live chat says, he said, I work in a law firm in New York, LOL. This brings up a really good point. How many seasons of illegal drama do we have to watch before you think you could take on a court case?
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean?
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Here's the thing.
Objection, Your Honor.
We all know how good I would be as a Wild Wings waiter.
Yes.
I would be equally good as being a fucking defense
attorney.
I'm just saying, it's part of Kind of Funny Lore. Part of Kind of Funny Lore that I'd be a great Wild Wings waiter.
But
we haven't talked enough about how I think I could be a great lawyer.
You know, I could be a good Uber driver, a fake Uber driver. I could also be a great astronaut.
Reasonable doubt is all you need to get somebody out of something, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd be so good at just grinding down the jury and getting one person there, but he's right. I don't 100% know this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to listen. Mm-hmm. Most people, remember, aren't educated on the jury like we are, right? They're more like a Kevin Coelho. Great. And I can grease wheels like that. You know what I mean?
That was so bad. Great. That was so perfect. Kevin literally just got up and was walking out the door as you said that. He turns around angry, just shits his head.
He's, you know, Kevin, a blue collar man. You know what I mean? Dropped out of the third grade. Like that guy. You give me 12.
I don't even know what point he's trying to make here.
You give me 12. Kevin's in the box. I'll get him.
He's trying to make himself look better as a hypothetical.
I'll be like, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
Kevin, here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be the first to admit the footage makes it look like, you know, my client Nick Scarpino did murder that man. But here's what I'm telling you. We already heard from people talking about, you know, the highest quality video TV you can get is an 8K. That was Tim. Tim was on the stand talking about that, right? Yeah, thanks, this Tim. Is in 480 interlaced. It's not that good. That's not enough. All I'm saying is we can't send a man like this to death row.
Amen.
Unless we are 100% sure. Are you all 100% sure right now? You know what I mean? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I just might be a small-town defense lawyer.
I think you could do it.
But I think...
You turn me around right? real fast, yeah.
It's black and white. Sometimes the images get flipped, you know? Where's the footage from that gas station of the plane hitting the Pentagon? I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, here we go. We got there. We got there, everybody. We got there. I'm so sorry, dude. This is how it goes sometimes.
I had a coke. I just imagine the jury being like,
wait, what? 11?
I'll tell you what I call it.
I was with him.
I call that one the razzle dazzle. Now all these Kevins, all right?
Yeah.
These people just one step removed from somebody who got kicked by a mule. They're like, well, he was saying something about the footage not being, but he is bringing it. I don't know about 9/11. You know what I mean?
Now I'm not sure.
I mean, he's making a good point there. Maybe he's making a good point here.
I would love to
see hole was punched perfectly into the Pentagon. How did they do that? And there was that one wheel. The blame, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we've all seen the PowerPoints.
Yeah. Where are the bodies, Greg?
And I crack the coke and I drink it. You know what I mean?
Make now, cheers, motion. Yeah.
Now, cheers into the.
I haven't watched Suits, and I don't plan to. No, no offense, I'm just busy. But is it better than The Practice?
I don't remember The Practice.
Dylan McDermott, remember?
Yeah,
this
I don't
guy?
Know that I ever watched it. I love
coolest
Dylan
white
McDermott,
guy name
but,
I think I
yeah.
ever.
Well, remember he? Well, who's the other? Who's yeah. the other
Dermot
guy?
Dermot Mulroney.
I think. Yeah, yeah,
the superior Dermot. Thank
they
you.
Were too close. You couldn't have it. Laura Flynn Boyle, remember her?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Again,
cover of Maxim, All Rise, burned into little Greg's mind.
Growing up as a Mexican kid, I didn't really know like about a lot of white names. So names like Dylan McDermott.
She was
were so badass to me.
Oh, sure.
Who's the son of the Wallflower singer?
Wallflower singer?
One head.
I'm assuming you're looking at me because I'm like the music guy. I'm yeah. supposed to know I mean, stuff like this, but
Jacob
I
Dylan?
Got nothing for you.
Yeah, I think it was Bob Dylan's son.
Bob Dylan.
Okay, never mind.
Dylan? Bob Dylan's son?
No, it was Jacob Dylan.
Jacob Dylan.
I don't know what Jacob Dylan is
so excited.
What Dylan was D-I-L-L-O-N, then it was Dylan. No, but like names like that, and then, or my cousin had a friend named Ty, and I was like, damn, that shit.
If we can pause for a second,
I know a lot of.
I want to get back to you being a weirdo. I want to get back to you being a weirdo because I talked to my dad about you while he's been here. But what I want to talk more about is something that I was thinking about Jacob Dylan this very weekend. All right, If I'm lying, I'm dying. I was thinking about sure. Jacob Dylan, right? Because it takes me back to Columbia, Missouri. All right, and I had a friend there who worked in the hospitality business at the hotels. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Working the front desk or whatever he was, and he came to the bar one night. We were all gathered around the table.
Of course he was.
We were gathered around the table, whatever. And he said I had a really funny encounter with Jacob Dylan last night. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, and I'm like, the one headlight Wallflowers guy? And he's like, yes, it was him. And I said, what happened? And he said, he came in to check. He checked in at the hotel last night for a show at the Blue Note or whatever. And I said, thanks. And I just have to say, I'm a really big fan of your father. Like, he left a pregnant pause there. Oh. So good, Jacob. Thank you. And I was like, that wasn't good. And that has stuck with me for 20-some years now. Yeah. 20-some years now.
Wow.
Almost as much as the hole in the Pentagon, but we'll get to that another time. You know what I mean?
About the same amount of time.
Because I'll tell you what. You want to talk about the government razzle-dazzle. Everybody hung up on the World Trade Center. But what about this Pentagon? You know what I mean?
I'm glad someone's finally asking the real question.
Hard question.
In 2023. Yeah.
But that sticks with me. I'm like, that was a stupid thing to say.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You work. You know, and I mean, I'm not even shitting my friend, but You're some jackass kid working at a hotel. He's Jacob Dylan, traveling the world, playing music. His dad's not dead, right? Bob Dylan?
I think Bob Dylan's
alive. He could talk to his dad whenever he wants. His dad's still alive and my friend's dad wasn't. His dad's famous.
Holy shit.
I don't want you. Just,
that got so dark.
Why? I don't want you thinking I'm about to close the gap and my friend's dad was on the Pentagon plane, all right?
Oh my God.
I wasn't saying that.
It all came back around.
Even though there were rumors somebody saw that plane months later. You remember this? Oh my God.
How was that plane hole so big?
A perfect circle.
The plane. There was a wheel and an engine on the ground.
They say the wheel. They say the wheel didn't match the plane. God, man,
this is a weird one.
It is a weird one, you know.
Yeah, I'm just sitting back and watching this one. I don't think I need to partake.
I'll never forget this fucking video, guys. This is one of those things that, like, it doesn't make sense.
No, yeah.
With as instantaneous as technology is, to try to explain this to someone of age now, consuming the internet of like whatever, of like sometime, I don't even know. I'll just say in early 2002, mm-hmm. someone I knew from high school, but I wasn't at college with, obviously, I like scrolled over their away message and they had a link down there and I watched this fucking PowerPoint video about all these conspiracy theories. And they are all here still. I don't believe them, but they're all here. You know what I mean?
But
and
it was like, you must believe a little.
But it was like the spinning like text, you know, from you know what I mean? Like when you had to make a PowerPoint in third grade or whatever.
I'm telling you, you could not have had me more convinced of every conspiracy in the world when like I was shown those really, really like the stuff you would find on what you thought was the dark web back then,
conspiracy videos. Exactly.
About that, about the world finances, about all sorts of stuff. And it was like maybe the second or first time I smoked weed ever. So I was like,
didn't do drugs, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that.
Yeah, what about that?
Also didn't pay for verification, there, did you?
No, I didn't.
There's a lot of interesting counter arguments that I keep putting out. That's all.
I'm very much enjoying some of the Twitch comments that are like, Carter is
sitting between his estranged parents at Christmas.
Zeitgeist, couch. It was Zeitgeist. Oh my God. That's what the documents were called. It was like Zeitgeist Part 1, 9/11. Zeitgeist Part 2, world finances and like the dollar and like what the actual like people up top, Illuminati. And like that was like one of the first or second times I smoked weed. And I was...
Oh man, we're living in the simulation.
I was like, man, this is
going
to
be like Kind of Funny Podcast, the 9/11 episode featuring Carter for some reason.
Yeah. I promise you that will not be the headline.
if you thought you were going to have a job after this, you're sorely mistaken. I guess
not, don't show your parents this one either. They're going to be like, are these the furry guys?
Yeah. Like, I think the funniest part of all that though is like, it's the typical, the kid goes off to college and be like, learn shit. It's like, this was like week one or two of me leaving the Rio Grande Valley, moving to Austin, keeping Austin weird, watching conspiracy videos, smoking weed, and like, it's so cliche.
My brother, we were a lot younger at this point, but he got so into conspiracy theory videos. We download so much shit off Kazaa and like Napster and shit.
How close did you guys become to flat earthers?
It was a different time. I mean, the thing that I talked about this a long time ago, but it was Loose Change. Do you remember this?
I remember this.
It was the documentary that was like breaking down like 9/11 alternative perspectives. I don't fucking even remember. It's been so long. But
the documentarian guy who...
Michael Moore?
No. This was like way more indie. Like, I don't even remember the details.
But the
only reason I'm bringing it up is because then it resulted in something called Luke's Change, which was a mockumentary about the Death Star being an inside job.
Awesome.
And
that's great.
They did a whole thing and treated it exactly like the Luke's Change thing. And I remember that being a moment of my life of like, this is fucking brilliant. This is the peak of content, baby. Yeah. Like, it can't get better than this.
They're ahead of the curve.
And then I think that same team eventually in like 2014 did an Anna Kendrick conspiracy video about all the signs in Pitch Perfect that she like knows more than she's allowing the world to know. Awesome. And it's like the fucking funniest. I need to watch that tonight. I love early internet was
great.
Shit.
Early internet was great.
It was great.
Carter, how are you doing, man?
Just like this podcast is. Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast. This is the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. And we mean whatever it is they want to talk about. If you like that, support the madness by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every episode ad-free. You can watch it live as we record it, just like Melissa Hagler is and Cody Hagler is. Cody just got freed from an elevator. Greg, I was stuck in an elevator in Florida on our job site for an hour and 15 minutes with no airflow and three other guys, and we had to climb out of the roof of the elevator.
I would die.
What's interesting is Melissa said earlier in the chat when this all happened live that he was a good husband, maybe brother, because he didn't. He said this elevator looks weird. Don't get in the elevator. And then he got trapped in there. So, Cody, congratulations on surviving. I need to see footage of you climbing out. I want to. I have to imagine you took a TikTok while you did it.
A little TikTok.
Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could also get a bevy of bonus content. Hundreds of episodes of exclusive content that's never been posted anywhere else. Only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. And new content gets added daily. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can support the show by, of course, subscribing to youtube.com/kindoffunny. Like, subscribing, and sharing on the podcast platform of your choice when you get it. Leave a review on Apple. Leave a star rating on Spotify. Have a great time. Enjoy the ads. Maybe use, you know, the code words and the sponsors and all that jazz. Because you use that stuff, it's good for us, too.
Remember back in the day when...
It always throws me when he does this in the middle, when we're still in, like, the intro. Like, is this intro related?
Forget that thought.
Kind of, but like,
okay, now you got my attention.
Early internet. This is just, I mean, it's not that good, actually. I don't want to get your hopes up, brother. But early internet, when ABC was always like, use keyword go.
Yeah. AOL keywords. AOL and stuff, keyword. Yeah,
the AOL keywords are like so huge before.
I was thinking about that too, of just like the main thing. How life is now. Again, this weekend, I was thinking about it, Carter. And it was this thing of just like, when you used to be like, oh, does WWF have a website? Does this have a, you just go to, yeah, you know what I mean?
Like holy
just,
shit, it does.
And you'd go there and be like, awesome. And there's like, no, nothing on it. I'm like, oh.
I would go to Blink182.com when the Mark Tom and Travis show came out, and all the little cartoons were like, they would animate, you'd hover, and it's like a little flash
thing. Oh, yeah,
like,
they had little.
Yeah, and it was all interactive. It was so cool, dude.
Oh, interesting. Now, hold on. Now, I don't know. Louise says, send the footage over to Greg, lol. And then Cody does bring up, hashtag ask to follow me. As we all know, there's been a brewing controversy here of, much like the government with 9/11, what does Cody Hagler have to hide? Because he's hiding something over there with his little private Instagram you won't let me in on. I go to Melissa's, I can keep up tangentially with Cody.
One of those guys?
So Cody, here's what I'll say. I will follow you during this podcast if you tell me there's some elevator-related content on that Instagram.
Ooh.
I need to see you trapped in there. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Thank you.
I think we need a kind of funny law drama of some kind, right?
Yeah,
100%. I'm convinced by your lawyering.
Give me some music. What would the music be?
I almost just started singing the lawyer, the Law and Order theme song.
Okay, Melissa tagged Greg in the story. All right, things are developing. We'll get to this in a second. For now, I'll remind you, of course, of some housekeeping. PS I Love You XOXO is incredibly special this week. Not only is it special because it's already live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services, it's special because me and Janet take you to work with us. We go and get a actual video game demo slash preview for a preview event from the Venba dev, Abby, who is a Kind of Funny best friend and who gave us the exact same demo on camera that he gave all the press people that also reported about it today. So it's a chance to come see what a video game presentation is like and how we do our jobs and what do we do with that. And then, of course, talk to Abby about making Venba and what's it like making a presentation, and then hear from a whole bunch of other stuff. And I talk about a viewfinder and yada, yada, yada. It's a great episode.
Yes.
That's a good band people like.
K-pop. Yeah,
yeah, no.
Can't see
that. Thank you to our Patreon producers.
They're taking BTS and like they're allowed to have it.
Okay. They're allowed. They can just do that?
Well, it's like anytime you see BTS, people are always like, this has nothing to do with the band. It's like, no, it's intense behind the scenes. But now behind the scenes has been co-opted by the group. So
can
we
take BDSM?
Yeah.
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 Stand for
what's it stand for, Greg?
What's it stand for? Behind the scenes, man.
Love it.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Nathan Lamoff. Today we're brought to you by Liquid IV. And hey, Let's hear from him right now. All right, we're back.
If I did on my keyboard, I could do little sitcom transitions.
See, earlier when we were talking about you coming this week, I was like, is he going to play stuff? And Tim was like, I don't think so. I'm like, it'd be cool if he was like our Paul Schaefer. And you just stood over there, and then we threw to you every so often, you know?
Yeah, but you have to laugh at everything I say.
So you're here for a wedding, and you hit me up. Yes. And technically, you're not here. Like, you're the...
What?
You can tell the story. I don't want to say anything that I can't say. Go for it.
No. You mean like traveling-wise?
Yeah.
Or, oh, I just... So I'm technically here because I'm going to a wedding in Hawaii, which is pretty badass.
Whoa.
This just happened to be a nice, convenient stop.
Sure.
Because normally you are...
Nashville.
Yeah.
Ooh,
home of the music.
Good place to
That's
be.
Right.
That's where they invented music.
That's true. Very true.
Yep.
Yes.
Like
never had existed before in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Didn't one of y'all go to Nashville recently? Was that you?
We Tim both and I did. Both did. Yeah,
oh, no way.
SummerSlam last year, yeah.
How was that?
I did not realize you were there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, now
thanks
I know.
For saying hi to us.
Next time y'all do anything notable?
We went to the Opry.
Nice.
Went to SummerSlam.
Grand.
Nice.
Yeah. Old. Yeah. I think those are the big highlights.
Grand. Any good food?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good food.
Any memorable food?
Biscuits.
Mm. It really seems like, Carter, you're leading them down.
Yeah, no, I'm like, yeah, what's happening?
Did you eat a burger? Guess what? That was supposed
to
be mine.
That was me.
I made that for you.
It was made out of human. Yeah.
But yeah, so you're making a little stop here because you're over on this coast area. And you hit me up. You're like, can I come see the studio? I'm like, yes, you can fucking come see the studio. So it's been a blast having you here today. How's the experience been?
It's been fantastic. I got here and holed up in the conference room. And pretending like I work here for a little bit.
It was cool. Yeah, having someone like that room's rarely used for like someone just sitting down working. Like maybe a meeting, maybe a call or whatever. Seeing him in there all day, I was like, oh, this feels legit.
Using all the rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
I walked
with big headphones at the big cans on.
Yeah. Know?
We're down a bunch of people for vacations and work things and yada yada. And I came in late. So I came in and it was just Joey and Cool Greg there. And so I sat down and talked to Joey a little bit and blah, blah, blah. And I looked towards the conference room, but the reflection of the spare bedroom neon is so, I had blocked him out.
Yeah.
And so he eventually came out like 10 minutes later. I was like, oh, hey, what's up? Holy shit.
I see some hot chicken comments. That's also where I was curious if y'all got a chance to have the Nashville staple. No hot chicken?
I've been before.
Okay.
And so I had gone back when Nashville was on TV. I came through and did
a show in Nashville?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah,
great show.
My friend Chip Esten gave me a tour of the set and all that jazz. And I went to Hattie B's back there.
We have a thing. She doesn't know about it.
Oh, sure. Okay. I had a hot chicken there. I had a Hattie B's. Nice. I was like, all right.
It's okay. If that's
I had fried chicken a lot.
The Hattie B's is kind of like the touristy version of the...
I've always just wanted the hot chicken without the bread. I'm not a big sandwich
I thought you were going to say without the spice.
No, like I just want the taste, like what the spice is like, because I love...
Oh, you mean without the breading?
Yeah,
like, without the...
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't want it in a sandwich.
Sure.
Is what I'm saying. No, I don't mind the breading.
He wants the breading. He wants the breading.
I just
want chicken tenders.
I don't want it in a Spanish.
He wants spicy chicken tenders.
Did I say in Spanish? I meant sandwich.
Wait, was that Cody?
No. Yeah, well, yes, that is Cody. Kevin's prepping it for when we're ready.
Okay.
Lately I've been getting a lot of proposition chicken, which is chicken.
How is that?
Around here.
We like that?
It's delicious.
We like that?
I get it all the time now. And I get the rotisserie with, lately, you know, I think it automatically comes with a bunch of chopped up cucumbers with little sliced cherry tomatoes and put a lot of lemon juice in there. And that's so delicious. Mm. Oh, man, delicious. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But I get the side of habanero sauce. And I dip the rotisserie chicken in there.
Yeah,
it's
now you're talking.
Really damn.
Now you're talking.
It
now
is
talking.
Really damn.
Calvin
good,
Press
bro.
Says, Carter, what's your favorite hot chicken spot? Mine would have to be Prince's Hot Chicken, which is the OG creator.
Oh,
Yeah. Apparently, as the legend goes, it was created by a couple who the husband cheated on the wife, and to get back at him, she dumped a bunch of paprika. Yeah, cayenne, right?
Yeah, cayenne.
Yeah, and dumped it as revenge, and he loved it, and hot chicken was born.
So I believe I saw this documentary on David Cho's Netflix show, and they talked about the history of hot chicken, and they did the whole, like, Hattie B's, it's a little bit more commercial or whatever, but let's go to, like, the actual spots. And every time they went, it's like everybody had their own, all the locals had their own input of, like, no, that's actually the spot to go to. And every time, just like, take off that bread, let me get a bite of that. That shit looks
still
so
stuck
good.
On the bread.
I love a spice, man, I'll tell you what.
Okay, so I have followed Cody Hagler, and guess what? No stories, no posts about it. So now we're going to block Cody Hagler.
Ooh.
But again, Melissa did come through with this video, Kevin, if you can put it up, of Cody being brought out of this elevator.
That sounds so dramatic. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
It's like a legit thing. The firefighters are there.
Oh my God.
Here comes Cody.
Dude.
Looking like a guy who doesn't know how to use an Instagram.
Yeah. Hell no.
That is so scary. I would be so freaking terrified of that.
Follow Cody.
Slot.
Come up.
Reports. Kevin got stuck in an elevator once. It's like, that's one of those things that is just the scariest thing in the world. I hate
thinking about this.
I feel like it's such a, it wasn't me, but I still feel like that story, it resonates
in
my mind.
Is that scary?
Yeah.
Stuck in an elevator, I find inconvenient. When the elevator falls, that's scary.
Well, I feel like the idea is that it could fall at any moment.
No.
Great. Yeah. One note on that. I was like 5.
I've heard this. Yeah, you're with your mom, right?
Yeah, it was awful.
But that's just because you don't like being with your mom, though.
That's true. Well, no, I was scared of elevators for a really long time. I've gotten over it. I get uncomfortable every time I'm in it, though.
Okay.
My thing is, like, an elevator has a function, and that function is to bring you up or down. And when it breaks even a little bit, then all bets are off the table.
Sure. Right?
Yeah. You're one step closer to plummeting.
I just feel like if...
In the same way that quicksand in the 80s, I feel like the 90s made it extremely clear that elevators are not safe. Like with the obsession, the amount of Tower of Terror movies we got, Mission Impossible even in the beginning of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Elevators are scary.
What was up at the top.
What a great set piece.
What was the scary movie where they're stuck in the elevator with the devil? Was it the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah,
it's like where you don't know which one it is.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
It's pretty good.
Is it called Devil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Turn of the Shyamalan.
I hate elevators.
I'm just saying, you know what? I don't know. I'm not. Them stopping. I feel like they stop all the time, every day. Something goes wrong. Not every elevator in the world. Don't get me wrong, but like enough elevators. But you don't hear about elevators falling that often.
I guess that is a good point. It's the same way like I talk about roller coasters, where it's like, yes, sometimes people die on roller coasters, but like overall, there are millions of people every day that are totally okay and nothing. Oh, yeah. Maybe it like gets stuck or something. But
you
like
see that video, the one
okay.
where it was like disconnected.
No.
Oh, man, that was a really...
Oh, where it, like, puts you onto the next part of the track or something?
No. This is just, like, somebody who recorded, I'm not sure what theme park it was, but it was the two pipes going up from the ground with, like, the big block that are connected to the track. But there's, like, as the cart is going by, they are not connected anymore. So, like, the track is floating off of the pipes that are holding it in place.
Nope.
And clearly that got reported, obviously, and, like, there's been no injuries or whatever, but... They had to shut that shit down. But my goodness, I was just, I was at Disneyland this weekend or this past weekend, every ride I was going on, I'm just like, can I get a little expensive and everything? You know what I mean?
I don't know if, okay, here I was going to say.
Oh,
North
here it
Carolina
is.
Roller Coaster, Carowinds.
When I rode.
You can see the top part is disconnected from the pole.
There's like a crack.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
You see it right the crack right there.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
I rode Rock and Roller Coaster when I was like 12 or 13, and then someone died on it like a day or two after. Terrifying. But I think it was like a.
Do you blame yourself? Did you do something to it?
I think
you screwed with the seatbelt. For a joke, and then there it was.
For a joke,
took a couple
classic screw with the seatbelt.
Look, I'm always like the. What's the positive side of things that we could look at?
Positive
and like
yeah, sure. Right side of life.
Optimist I try to be every once in a while. But
glass
like,
is half full.
If there's a really bad plane wreck, it's like there's no better time to fly after a plane wreck.
Sure,
that's true.
Like people are going to be the on their A game
is
and making
you?
Sure that nothing's wrong. And like
June 29th, 2006, a 12-year-old boy visiting from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, was found
Damn.
To be unresponsive after
that
the ride
been
ended.
When it was,
though, his father administered CPR.
So what I was
Kevin
thinking is
away
like
the text.
After this footage went super viral, mega viral of this roller coaster being disconnected, being at Disneyland, I was like, you know what? I feel safer because they know that video went viral last week.
Yeah.
And they are triple, quadruple checking everything.
Absolutely.
You looking at this game? This guy, this over here, Cody Hagler. Greg, it finally uploaded. Fool me once. Yeah.
You've been reported for
fool
spam.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? A fool can't be fooled again. All right?
Yeah.
You got your follow. You shit the bed. That's you the said you were waiting on the follow request. You got your dream, Cody. This is what you've been begging for in the chat for so many weeks. You got your dream. And guess what? You shit the bed. There was no content. Now, Andy has to raise your child.
He's been begging for this? What are you talking about?
No, the chat's over here. Well, I make fun of him on Instagram being private. Oh. So then there was a whole chat movement of, oh, man, go follow him. Make his little life. His life sucks.
I never thought to ask what that meant, But now I, oh, wow, okay.
Follow Cody.
Okay, wow.
Help him out. Nothing good's going on in his life. Help him. Be nice to him.
Elevator guy.
he keeps getting stuck in elevators.
Stuck in an elevator. Like, way more scared than you would be, apparently.
I'm sorry,
and now just being
I fantasize about it sometime, getting trapped in there, a little podcast with whoever I'm with. You know what I mean?
Microphone.
Elevator podcast.
Yeah.
Pick your pee corner.
Yeah.
Do I look more golden, by the way?
Put me in there. With, who is Norm? Who is Norm on Cheers? Nick?
Norm on Cheers.
Yeah.
Pete Way? Not Pete Wentz.
Pete Wentz.
That's where I am, too.
Something Wentz.
Yeah, George Wentz.
George Wentz.
Put me and George Wentz in an elevator. He alive? Put me and George Wentz in an elevator, Tim.
You want to be stuck in an elevator with George Wentz?
Oh, we'd have such a good time. Maybe he's got a six-pack.
Could you ask him about... I guess it's like a beer.
I'd ask him about everything, man. He's, you know, he's a true Chicagoan too.
Would you ask him about when he was on Fletch in the movie Fletch?
No, I don't. I don't remember him being in Fletch.
Yeah,
my Fletch knowledge is really just about the John Hamm version.
That's fair. What did you think
now,
of that version?
Huh?
What did you think of that
version? I enjoyed it, but didn't think about it again until this very fucking moment there when I was like, "Oh, I watched that Fletch movie with John Hamm."
Sure did.
Here's something.
What's a movie that you guys have not thought about since you've seen it until this exact moment?
Let me Fletch.
Oof, it's hard to think about something you haven't thought about.
I know. I think I pulled one. You saying that, though.
Give it to me.
Fuck, I forget the name of it.
Oh, God. But
it's
just get me there. I'll get you there.
Yeah, oh, man.
Get me close. I'll get you the rest.
Oh, man, I'm gonna need some help to get here.
Yeah, well,
I think it's called Willard, something like that.
The Rat Movie.
It's the Rat Movie.
Yeah. Willard.
The guy from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
From Back to the Future.
Yeah, Xavier. No, what's Chris McGlover.
Yes, yes.
Willard, that's
I saw that in theaters.
Why?
He was friends with rats. I don't know.
He's a weird dude.
That was fucking weird.
This is so random, but the one that just came to my mind for me was Toy Soldiers.
Oh, great movie.
I think I must have seen like YouTube video or something recently, but yeah.
Oh, Small Soldiers.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what it's called? Small Soldiers. Yeah.
Toy Soldiers is different than Small Soldiers.
What did I say?
Phil Hartman was in the
little one. Action figure dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a dark
the Gorgonites.
Toy story. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah,
I saw
that word hasn't even popped up in my head until just now. Amazing.
You know what? Not Patch Adams.
Patch Adams.
That works, though.
I haven't thought about that one.
Jack.
Sure.
I haven't thought about that either.
The Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Where he's a giant child.
You know a movie that I don't talk enough about is Bicentennial Man.
Tell me about that.
In review, what are we doing? Let's have some fun. You know what I mean?
AI robots. And Bicentennial Man.
Did we do Terminator, right?
No.
We fucking tossed Bicentennial Man in there.
What would be funny is a...
what would be funny, honestly, is a
kind of funny in review where we're kind of like going through the movies of kind of funny lore.
Yeah.
And we watched The Departed. We watched Bicentennial Man. We watched...
Are we putting Santa Claus in there or no? It had its moment.
We already did it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, we watched like whatever movies get brought up the most on these podcasts or the holiday movies.
Cameron Kennedy says Heat versus the Heat.
Oh, yes. Wow.
That's a good one. That's a great one.
I feel like I bring up Goodfellas once every 2 weeks on these shows. Goodfellas is a good
one. I want you to know.
Oh, man. Someone said, Your Highness. That's a fucking great movie, even though it's ridiculous and stupid. Y'all know that one?
With James Franco and Danny McBride,
yeah.
And Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
That's the one movie they conned her into being in, and she was like, I'll never work with these guys.
Oh, is that what happened?
I don't know. I remember there being some weirdness about, she was just like, I regret doing that movie so bad, because it wasn't very
good. It was like, so bad it's good kind of thing.
I think I watched like the first 5 minutes of it, because that was when I was like, I'm still a pretty big Danny McBride fan, but like he had a good track record there leading up to Eastbound and Down, where he did like Hot Rod and a bunch of other things.
Mm.
And I was like, I'll give this a shot. And I just remember watching, you know, 50 seconds into a movie, you're like, oh, I've made a terrible mistake by watching this.
Yeah.
I rented this film and I can't get through it. Yeah, I remember Your Highness not being very good.
As everybody knows, I am a man of moral fiber. My word is my bond. I don't break it. You know what I mean? I speak out on a lot of issues others would find controversial, and I take
You're not afraid to take on the hard topic.
I take a stance, right? Yeah. And I stand by that stance. But as you know, I'm not afraid to reevaluate when I get new information, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the trait of a smart person, and I like to think I'm a smart person.
Yeah, Steve Jobs.
However, I threw the gauntlet down a long time ago, and I cut off my nose despite my face. And it was a gamble that I don't regret, but, you know, maybe it was, I didn't bet on the right horse. But I've had my world rocked recently.
Okay.
By the TikTok algorithm.
Sure.
Because I'm just doing my usual scrolls, seeing what's up, what burgers is this person going to eat kind of stuff. And I scroll, right?
Is that what you're looking at on TikTok?
I scroll, right? And I get my usual movie clip, but this time it's not The Martian. All right?
Mm.
This time it's a beautiful Henry Cavill. And I'm like, what's this all about?
Oh, the one where he's shirtless.
And then it was, oh, this is Mission Impossible. And I watched this entire clip of Mission Impossible, and it ended, and I was like, that was a pretty good clip. Like, that was a pretty good clip, Henry Cavill and Simon Pegg. Great.
My entire body just got like, yeah.
Are you like
holy shit.
Mission Impossible?
Usually? Yeah, if you remember when they did the one where he reloaded his arms, they wouldn't let him shave his mustache.
You don't like that?
No, they wouldn't let him shave his mustache for the Superman reshoots for Justice League. And that was one of the many problems with Justice League. But I said, this is what I'm going to die. This is the hill I'm going to die on. And then the movie came out, it was dog shit. I was like, well, I'm fucking stuck. I said I was going to, you know what I mean?
You're eating your words.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, it's one of those things.
You haven't seen Fallout yet.
No, I haven't seen any Mission Impossible.
I mean, that's a good one to start with. You might like that movie a lot, Greg.
Yeah.
Would it help you out if at one point I told you that Rebecca Ferguson has a scene with Henry Cavill where she says, and I quote, "The Snyder Cut was excellent"? Would that help you?
Can I see who Rebecca Ferguson is?
Oh, she's...
I had a t-shirt in fourth grade named Mrs. Gustafson. Does she look like that?
I can't confirm that she probably doesn't look anything like Mrs. Gustafson. But I don't know how much of a baddie
does she look like Rebecca Romijn?
No, she does not. I mean, I wouldn't say she looks like Rebecca Romijn, but I think that she's...
Oh, this woman!
Yeah, she's a really good actress.
I've seen her.
She
was in Dune.
She's British or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Thanks, Scottish.
See, there it is.
She's a badass. She's great in that movie.
Also, she likes the Snyder Cut. That's cool.
Am I wrong, Tim? I'm not lying, right?
I think it's the extended edition.
Yeah, it's in the bathroom scene where she's fixing him up, and she's like, by the way, black and white.
I'm like, Simon Pegg crushing it as always.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? You know I'm a big Simon Pegg fan. Henry Cavill just untouchable as always. Tom Cruise, great. You know what I mean?
But then
Alec Baldwin's like doing some accent I didn't like or some.
No, he's got a Bostonian accent. It's fine. It's his accent. That's what he got from The Departed. He never shed it.
It affects your mind and you can't get away from it.
It's funny because like I know Greg Miller, just I think as a starting point, doesn't like movies. That's not always true.
Doesn't like movies? Is that what you said?
Yeah, movies can win you over. His preferred. You can be a fan. But overall, I'd say your starting place is not wanting to watch movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Action movies even more so the case. Sure. Like you kind of get lost in the action, and like with Mission Impossible. That's kind of the point, so I can see it not being your thing. However, there's a lot of things.
However.
There's so much in the Mission Impossible franchise that I just feel would tickle your pickle, Greg.
Yeah.
Like the things that you just mentioned here, but Tom Cruise, if you like Tom Cruise, oh, man.
I got nothing against Tom Cruise. I feel like him and I are on the wrong foot. Just that we're on different sides of the same equation. He just wants to save movie theaters, and I want them to be defeated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
God, I thought you were
going to say that. I don't want them to be extinct. I'm just like... Fucking loosen it up and put them on the services. You know what I mean? Let me buy them there. Let me watch at home. I got a nice TV.
There's been.
You think you're going to get me into the fucking theater to watch Barbie
in the last few months?
Barbie.
But on top of that, you're talking about your boy Simon Pegg, like
my man,
debatably one of his just best characters ever.
Oh, right?
Run, Fat Boy, Run. Names.
The fact that they have two tech guys and they're like, we can't choose between them. We'll just throw them both in there.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Jeremy Renner, fantastic,
great
in it. And I know a lot of people are like, I don't really like Jeremy Renner.
I like Jeremy Renner.
Watch this fucking movie. I mean, you're gonna love him now.
He was great. Paula Patton's was great. Maggie Q was great.
Robert Pattinson's in it.
Yeah, R. Pats is in it. Mm. Again, he pops out of the toilet and is like, Snyder Cut, not that bad.
Why? He's a ghoulie? He's
a ghoulie? That's weird.
He's a ghoulie.
The whole second half.
That's a movie I haven't thought of in a while.
For me, it was Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Remember
that Simon Pegg one?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
His ex is now with Hank Azaria, and then to prove a point, he runs a marathon.
Yeah.
And Simon Pegg is like, and this, again, hurts my soul to say because I won't watch the Mission Impossible thing. Simon Pegg after Shaun of the Dead was a man I'll follow into battle. You put Simon Pegg in a motion picture, I'm going to go watch it. You know what I mean?
Star Trek.
Ty became a Star Trek fan.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Simon Pegg's out there doing his thing.
What was that other movie? The one you said was Run, Fat Boy, Run?
Yeah.
And then there was Britney Runs a Marathon, right?
I don't know.
That was another movie.
Was that two years ago?
That was a solid movie.
No, I was going to say, but they're very similar plots, those movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where they both had to get their shit together, like, so they choose to run a marathon. Armageddon. I mean, that is, if you want to get into fucking conspiracy theories right now, it's like, how do we allow both of those to
and
exist
the
at the same time?
Receding.
Fun fact about me, first of all, is that I was born and raised overseas. I don't know if y'all knew this. In Kenya. Did I ever mention that?
No.
Yeah, that's
Can't you tell
awesome.
By my accent? I was literally born and raised there for 18 years. And so one of the weird things with movies is that Kenya was like, until the 2000s, was like a decade behind a little bit. Mm. And so like movies came later and The internet was super slow for a long time. And so I feel like I caught up on everything in my like late teens. And so like even Mission Impossible, I only saw the first one, I think. There's been like a million of those probably, right?
Seven.
Seven, close enough.
Better luck, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's weird because it's still like...
How did Spice World affect you all? How did the Spice Girls in the Spice World?
Not much.
The can you imagine that heartbreak? Low. It gets there. You're like, this is awesome. And this band, I can't wait. Oh, they broke up 10 years ago.
That's basically what it was like. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've often wondered this because like I'll throw shit at you and you respond with, I say draft. It's the final version the majority of the time so quickly. And I'm often like, damn, he nailed so many elements of this. And like, I talk to Cam all the time, so I know his process. I know how he works. I know what he likes. Like, so when I pitch him something, I know when I need to over-explain. Hey, let's maybe use this imagery. I know you haven't seen this franchise. Maybe this, maybe that, whatever.
Sure.
I've never had to, I guess sometimes I give you some direction, but like, you seem to know every theme song. Like, you seem to know every sound.
I kind of overcorrected probably, like, when I came to the States and, like, caught up on everything so much. And just because, like, that kind of... I went the like media route, and so I've caught up on a big amount, but there is these still weird, like sometimes I feel like a homeschool kid a little bit because like I'll miss just random references here and there and like random movies and music.
You don't have to explain. We have Snowmike Mike in the office. We understand completely what it's like to have someone that has absolutely no understanding of any movie or cultural thing before 2000.
Yeah, when you live in Tahoe, it's very similar to Kenya.
Like exactly.
It's like they have very little exposure to the outside world.
Yeah.
Well, has there been a KF intro that I've hit you up about?
I didn't know.
That you're just like, I need to do research on this.
Tell you what, I have the list, and I will find one,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, scope it out. Let's look at this.
My... kind of funny.
We should bring.
It really
up
is
some
a lot
of
these
intros while we're waiting.
Okay, let's see. I remember there was one. Maybe Fast and Furious. I wasn't super familiar with, which maybe is blasphemous to say here.
No,
like
no.
When I first joined, Kind of Funny, I had never watched any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
There was like only two out though.
Even John Wick.
I watched seven theaters there. But
I was not as familiar with. I mean, that doesn't have like a super iconic theme now? Necessarily.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like most of them are pretty well known. Who was maybe that? Magic Mike.
Kevin asks, have you watched them now?
Which Fast ones? And Furious. Oh, Fast and Furious? No.
Oh, man.
Hey, this is a dumb question.
Now's not the time.
This is a dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were both into Fast and Furious before we started doing it, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Why was I so into it? I just liked him, right? I liked, Tokyo Drift. That's where we all came around
to
it, right?
Five. I mean, yes. Tokyo Drift is when people came around, but five. Was a moment when everyone was like, yo, this is legitimately amazing. It's around, not just a meme or anything. Okay. And that was like around me starting. I did not get to see Fast Five with you guys. I started IGN like a couple months after that.
Okay.
But you and Mike Pereira and all them were obsessed with it. And I was like, oh my God, my people, I'm here. Sure. And then we all saw Six together in theaters and it was an amazing moment.
A beautiful moment.
I'll never forget
it. That's how that shook down.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That checks out.
Carter, I'm trying to find that your GameCube.
Yeah.
Is that on where is that?
Oh, maybe Instagram or something.
Yeah.
I think it was on Twitter. That's where I saw it.
Yeah.
That's where I saw it. Now I'm already imagining the Kind of Funny jingle for when we eventually do The Office in review.
Oh man.
To have Nick Scarpino watch The Office.
Can't wait for you guys to watch that.
Have you not seen any of it?
I've watched a few episodes of The Office. For whatever reason, I the humor of The Office just does not vibe with me.
You know, there's a lot of those that like almost everyone likes, and there's a lot of people who are just like, don't get it.
There's been a few of those in my life. I had a friend of mine that was like, let's sit down and watch some Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I watched a few episodes of that, and I got into the first season, and then I was just like, it's a little too much for me. So I don't think I've watched it since. But I understand why people like it. Sure. I respect it. Just not for me.
Committing to The Office was one of the best decisions I ever made in terms of watching stuff. Where it's like, I was with you in the sense of like, I've seen this and it's kind of funny. The memes are funny, whatever. But like, I don't know about this. And then a couple years back, like right pre-pandemic, but I started watching them and fucking love that show. It is so damn funny.
I mean, I just got into Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like just as if.
I mean, you needed to wait to see if that was a fad.
Right.
So
I wanted to wait for, Greg, real talk, is just to make sure that Amazon was going to screw the pooch with the Lord of the Rings show.
Sure.
And now I'm like, cool. Now it's done. You know what I mean? They're never going to do it again.
You got the ultimate amount there.
Exactly.
They will do it again, though, right?
Like, Kevin, of course. You got this GameCube thing ready to go?
Yeah, I freaking love this. This is the talent outside of the KF stuff that Carter can do.
GameCube is the best console, by the way, just so everyone's on the same page.
How long ago did that get to Kenya?
Yeah, I just got a Pokemon game on GameCube.
What's up?
There was a Pokemon game.
Stadium, right?
Coliseum.
Oh, Coliseum.
No, it was like some weird...
XD Gale of Darkness.
That's the one. I was like, I thought it was a fan-made game.
Can you press play again, Kev, or is it having issues?
Actually, it actually is a perfect example, though, because GameCube was my first console, because it was like we were late to the N64 era, you know. Huh. I guess I'm also on the younger side compared to all you old fogies.
That was working. Oh, now we're
And Instagram on web, it just is not
the worst, dude. There we go. Fix it, Zuck.
Slap the bass.
Come on, dude.
Controller sounds? It's so dope.
It's amazing.
Now I'm just going on a journey right
now. It reminds me of Outrun, the Sega arcade racing game. About. Yeah, there you go.
That's amazing, so dude.
Tight, what do y'all think of when you think GameCube, like game-wise?
Melee. Twin Snakes.
What did you say?
Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes.
Double Dash GameCube? And Melee.
Yeah.
I just remember it having a handle for no reason.
Oh, so you could take it to your friend's house and play.
No reason.
No reason. Yeah.
Thought it was stupid.
Spoken like somebody
so
you can
ward off like intruders.
Get out of here. How old are you, Carter?
28.
Yeah, okay. That's about what I expected. When you said I was like, fuck, you're like 22 or some shit. It's like another Roger moment.
Is Roger 22 or is he younger?
I think Roger's 15. Roger's We're not quite 14. Sure.
What about
he's 24, I think, now.
Blessing also.
But he was 21 at one point.
I sent in some photos to Assets. I just wanted to show off the beautiful little cupcake that I had at Super Nintendo World.
Ooh.
At Universal. On Wednesday, I went to Disneyland, and I finally got to ride Rise of Resistance.
Right.
After a long delay, I was supposed to ride it in January of 2020, and
what a cute cup.
And I was unable to make it, and I was so heartbroken, and I was like, it was broken all day. It kept on going down. We were supposed to be on it by like 1 p.m., and by it's like 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and I'm seeing that Andrea Renee was like 10 spots ahead of us. Their group got in, and then the ride shut down again. The park was over. Very, very heartbroken. But I was like, I'll go back in July and ride Rise of Resistance. And the pandemic hit, so we never went back. But I finally got to go on it, and I like had just tears in my eyes the whole time. Afterward, my dad not being able to stop talking about it, just being like, I cannot get over what we just experienced.
It's kind of unbelievable.
It is so magical.
I know you can watch the whole thing online if you wanted to or whatever, but no spoilers. What is it? What's unbelievable about it? Like the scope, the scale, the people?
Pretty much everything you just mentioned. I think like, I love that so much of these rides, because of the long waits, people are having, these companies are having to invest in the line and the waiting. And even that is really cool and an experience. And essentially, you're put on a ship and you're trying to get away, and Oscar Isaac's talking to you on the screen.
They fly now.
And then it looks like you're flying on the ship because the screens are all LEDs or, you know, whatever. So it looks like you're flying off into space. And then the First Order takes over and they tractor beam your ship in. And then they're like preparing to board the First Order. And then the doors open and you're no longer in the line that you just came from outdoors. You're now looking into what is a First Order ship, and it is all like the glossy black everywhere, and all of the people in there that then tell you to get in line for the ride, they're all First Order people, they're all assholes, they're like, get in line, no, don't ask any questions, you know, like, it's so badass and interactive, and it's cool for me as a 35-year-old, and again, I can't imagine being a 12-year-old experiencing this magic, and you go into a room, and it's like, all right, and then Kylo Ren, the little hologram that they have that makes it look like he's above you. He's like, stay here. We're going to come back and question all of y'all. And he leaves. No, he doesn't leave, because suddenly the door starts. You see like a little, the door falls down and they're like, come on, we're getting you off this. It is the coolest fucking thing ever. And then you are on a track that is the trackless sort of little ride and you're just kind of zipping around.
Now, you know, I get scared and motion sick and stuff. And I know that there's a drop at one point.
There's a drop at the very, very end, and I don't think it's that bad. at all.
No, I think you'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of an immersive thing as opposed to like a thrill ride. Okay. I feel like even then, like some of the drop stuff is more exaggerated by video walls. Sure. So you feel more.
Well, it's like when falling. We did the Falcon, where I had to have a water bottle on my feet to be like, all right, cool, we're not going that crazy.
Exactly.
The water bottle isn't very similar. That crazy.
it is similar to that, but it's even more immersive than that.
Yeah.
But like to Andy's point, like I think the coolest thing about the ride is you don't know where it begins and ends.
Yeah.
It's kind of just this experience where like there's a lot of rides. Like Indy has a great queue. Like there's some of the lines are awesome at Disneyland. Rise of the Resistance, it's so seamless of like, oh, it's just the ride. And like the way that it starts, like the storytelling stuff, and then it just goes into this moment of realizing like, oh, it already started. It's unbelievable. And then it just keeps ratcheting it up and up and up where it's not just one type of ride. It's like four different rides in one, but like all of it feels appropriate. And whenever you're kind of like in a stalling station area, there's like story reason for it happening. It's like very damn cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it again.
The high-tech animatronics that are now present, that again, these, I remember watching one of the Imagineer documentaries where just showing like all the different points of articulation that these animatronics have and how expressive with their movements they are now compared to the old Pirates ones, which
sure,
are
sure,
you
sure.
know very you know that they look the way they look, and we still love them for that, but these newer versions are just so ridiculously like detailed. And you know, Kylo's getting pissed off at you and you escape, and then you go into another room and suddenly a lightsaber from the ceiling just starts bursting through and you're like, oh my god, he's coming after us. It is so thrilling and badass. And it is like easily the number one thing that I experienced. Number two that I experienced.
Churro.
Just Nintendo Land.
Tell me about Mario Kart though. Was it cool?
No. The line.
I didn't think
that's what I heard. Yeah.
The line in the lead up to Mario Kart, awesome as hell. Because they know that you're going to be in line for a long time. And it's a lot of cool looking props. It's a lot of awesome looking just decor, right? You are in Bowser's Castle. That's the Mickey and Minnie ride that broke down, and I was very, very sad.
Ooh.
But the line and lead up to Mario Kart, really, really cool. The Mario Kart ride, I wish it wasn't a game. It's four people in a cart, and you have these little visors on, these little like Mario visors on, and when you sit down, there's a little piece of clear glass that you then stick onto your visor, and it's an AR visor. And you and your four squad mates are in this Mario Kart, and you have to turn at the same time together so that your cart actually turns. And the whole time you are collecting blocks, you know, the little question blocks,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
to then shoot turtle shells at these AR characters that are in your visor. You can still see the world behind you, but like you'll see Bowser like riding in front of you. You turn around, like he'll stay there, and if you turn back, he's still there. But the whole time you're like missing out on the ride because you're trying to, you have to look at the opponents that you're trying to shoot turtle shells at. You have to beat Team Bowser. You can't shoot your shells at Toad or Luigi or any of the
sure.
Mario characters. It all has to be the Koopas and all that stuff. And you're so concentrated on doing that that you're just kind of missing the ride. And man, I was pretty disappointed by that. But the lead up, awesome as hell.
The question I have that I haven't been able to ask anybody I trust about this, and I feel like you and me right in the same point when it comes to this. Does the music hit specifically at the end? Because I've seen the video. I know what the ride looks like. I haven't been on it myself. And the final song that plays as you're like getting to the finish line, I'm like,
it's Mario.
I can't even imagine experiencing this.
Classic.
Does Mario. It hit or does it not? Because I can imagine it not.
It. I would say no. Because I just, like, there were moments that I'm like smiling at what's happening outside of the AR. But then you get back and you're like, I want to win this game. I want to beat Team Bowser. It's like, I wish it was just a thrill ride.
That's the thing, is it seems so obvious to make Mario Kart like a ride.
Yeah.
You know, like how dope would that be going through Rainbow Road and shit?
Oh my
you know?
God.
And they do that. And they do right. like a decent job of trying to show you that through the AR goggles. And they have the props in the actual world that are Mario Kart looking themed. But if you're going to try to win the game, like everybody wants to try to win the game, you're not really looking at the rest of the ride. And that is a massive bummer to me. So that's like the world itself, just seeing all the everything. Walking in is just like so magical. And the restaurant was dope as hell. I had some spaghetti. It was delicious. I had a toadstool garlic knots that were great.
That's
the cupcake
good.
Was incredible. Highly recommend getting the cupcake. I didn't get to go to Rogers the Musical.
It
was being shown, but I was like,
how long is that experience?
I think it's like a 30-minute thing.
30, 45 minutes. It's also online.
Did you do the TIE Fighter, not TIE Fighter, the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars Land? Isn't that like, I guess it's a screen thing. It's
I had been on that one before, okay, which was, you know, that one's fun. Like, I think like the lead up is also really cool, but I enjoy the Millennium Falcon thing more than the Mario Kart ride, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing.
My biggest disappointment in recent years of theme parks, the Spider-Man ride.
Oh, pretty disappointing.
It sucks, man.
Yeah.
It's not
the music's cool, but like, it's literally just you sitting there. Like, nothing even in your hands. You're literally just supposed to go like this, and it just feels aimless and like...
It was really, really disappointing. Incredicoaster, great time.
Hell yeah.
Incredicoaster was a fun little thing. And then watching San Francisco being built was awesome from Big Hero 6. All of the Pier 39 themed buildings that are like also Japan themed as well, which is kind of like a really cool mix. And they're also building their version of the Golden Gate Bridge with like sort of Japanese adornments on the side, you know. Looks really, really cool. All that stuff being built is awesome. It was hot as shit. God damn, it was like 90 degrees and I did not expect that. But it was a freaking blast. It was my first time at Universal. The worldies, man. The worldies were all there.
We did it.
Jurassic World ride. You know, it was really...
I bet they all shot you looks, too. They knew you.
It was cool seeing Owen Shaw, or Deckard Shaw. What's his name? What's...
Owen.
Your favorite character?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Who does he play in your favorite movie?
He hangs out with Bluey.
Oh, yeah. Bluey.
Yeah.
And that was really neat after the Jurassic World ride to have the raptor wrangler being like, and right here is Blue, and it's a guy in a raptor sort of costume, and...
Could you see the guy?
No, they actually did a pretty decent job of like masking it, but that part was like really impressive to have post ride. It was my first time at Universal. I liked the layout. I loved like the massive escalators.
Did you go to Simpsons Land and Moe's Tavern?
I kind of like we walked by it and stuff.
Yeah,
that shit was kind of cool. The Universal tour really cool. We walked through all we saw all of the fake New York City sets.
How like any time, thing.
It was so goofy and stupid.
Was it perfect though?
It was so perfectly Fast and Furious and bad. Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah, Michelle Rodriguez has like a crane that she sticks in the front of a car and like lifts the car up with the guy in it. It was stupid as hell. And I didn't really expect that to be part of the tour. I just thought the tour was like we're just driving and showing you, hey, there's Dom's car and there's Bumblebee or whatever. But yeah, Universal was actually pretty neat. I wasn't expecting to dig as much as I did compared to Disneyland.
How did the kids like it?
Loved it. I mean, it was just the nonstop fun, nonstop wanting to like, what's the next thrill? And we were walking with our homie Rudio, and Rudio gave us like, Rudio has all the knowledge, and he hooked it up with knowing like all the fast lane, all that shit, lightning lane stuff. So it was like the most efficient process possible. And whenever something wasn't efficient, I'd have to remind them like, hey, it's you're only impatient right now because all the other rides have not taken 2.5 hours to wait because Rudio has hooked it up. So chill the hell out.
Your family loved hearing that.
Well, I kept on having to tell like the kids, like, all right, chill out, dude. We've gotten into every ride in like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Like everything else is going to take a while. That's just what happened. The first time I ever rode the Cars ride, it was like a 3-hour wait, and that shit sucked.
Ride's incredible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Cars ride is always amazing. But I mean, even just walking in that area is awesome. But yeah, I had a freaking blast. The Mickey and Minnie ride is using the brand new tech, and those photos are up there. Where like you see a shot that I took inside the ride, where they are. It starts off in like one of those crazy Imagineer, like how the hell did they do this intro ways, where Rudio was like, watch the way this show opens, and you're just watching a Mickey and Minnie cartoon, and then there's like an explosion, and suddenly there's a very cartoony explosion in the screen that you were just looking at. It's like, where did that cutout come from? Blew my mind. And then
can I pause you for 1 second?
Go ahead.
For your next thought. In the chat, or Anthony Corbett says, as someone from Ohio, neither of the park roller coasters compare to Cedar Point and Kings Island. Anthony, shut the fuck up. Nobody wants to go to Ohio. That's why I'm sure everything's... You got to build something amazing in Ohio so everybody there doesn't go, oh, fuck, we're in Ohio.
They go to 7-Eleven.
You know what I mean? Fuck out of here. Nobody wants to hear it.
The Mickey Mini ride was super impressive, though. Like, the projection technology they're using to, like, just show shit on the wall where the whole time I'm thinking, like, are these LED screens? This shit looks so good and crisp and vibrant. And then the ride shut down. I was like, oh, no, yeah, the walls are just blank as hell. Those are all just projectors. I was really mainly excited to go on that ride to see what sort of new tech these Imagineers are working on. But, yeah, Disneyland is so cool. And
sure.
Now, I get it, bro. All these Disney adults that, like, freak out all the time.
Are you going to be a Disney adult now?
Probably not because it's really expensive. But, like, I get
Did you get some ears? Did you get ears?
No.
The family didn't get matching ears?
No. I mean, my nieces had the ears up. You know, yeah. They had the little ears.
Didn't build a lightsaber? Measly. $300 or whatever it is.
I should have just for the experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sure. It's
but
one day you got it, dude.
Yeah, that's definitely an attraction that I need to do just to kind of feel the magic of the music all that swells and everything like that.
Oh, but, yeah, I guess they have like dope ass music through the whole park and everything, right?
Oh, for sure. Star Wars. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, just having my like, I just wanted to watch my dad's reaction, my nephew's reaction, walking through Batuu and seeing like. Here's that first glimpse of Kylo's like thing, but then there's a Millennium Falcon and just
I
like,
just love it because
oh
like,
my
everything
God.
I know about your dad is like I can imagine him just being like fucking
he
blown
was like,
away.
You gotta be fucking kidding me, man! Like That's this awesome. Is unbelievable that this stuff exists and you were just immersed in this freaking world. It was a blast as well as always. I've been to like the Star Wars Land like 3 times now. It's always like cool as hell. But yeah, getting to ride Rise of Resistance was the highlight of the week for sure.
Love this one from Gary the Third. Disney adult aspirations, Cedar Point budget.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly.
Speaking of Star Wars, do you want to hear my TIE Fighter impression?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So much better than mine.
That's still more authentic.
Mine, I would just go
compared to this.
I do a decent Sebulba. I do a decent Sebulba.
That was good. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. When they're pod racing.
Can you do the Wilhelm scream?
What?
The classic?
Isn't that? Is it that one?
That was more like Link from Zelda.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I always forget that because for the longest time I thought the Wilhelm scream was. Another scream that I would always hear. Oh, the All Real Monsters scream.
Yeah.
I thought that was the Wilhelm scream.
Mm. Yeah.
Wasn't. One of them goes up, one goes down, right?
You know what I'm talking about? The longer one is the quick one.
That's the Wilhelm scream.
That's
yeah.
Wilhelm. That's not the one.
The
I'm
one I always
up.
Thought the Wilhelm scream was.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that goes longer, yeah.
Not the Wilhelm.
There you go. We're going to get sued by Lucasfilm for using that one. And from your spot on,
dude, it really is good. Like you do that,
and then right when the, and then when the, remember when he like pulls up right next to Anakin, they're stuck, and it's like, that's so sick.
Anthony says, Anthony Corbett says, Cedar Points is definitely way cheaper, lol. But yeah, we can have a kind of funny meetup one day at Cedar Point, lol. No, Anthony, no one is meeting up at Cedar Point.
Not going there, Anthony.
Stop
going there,
Anthony. God damn.
Rather go to Kansas.
No, well, that's not true. All right. Cedar Point at least has something going on.
I did walk
Kansas,
through.
They gather on the rock at night. They watch that. They go, oh, look at the rock.
Has it moved yet? It hasn't moved yet.
That sounds like David Kenya, man. Just rolling the tire down.
You had something else, Andy?
Honestly, though, the questions that people do ask me are not far from that. When I
about sure.
From Kenya?
Kenya?
Yeah. Except they're usually too, like, they don't want to say anything offensive, so they're
sure,
like,
"Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah."
But you're not like, ugh. You know, yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're not even toeing the line. They're just like, "Ooh."
I mean, to be fair, it's like Kenya's one of the more like developed, westernized African countries, especially now. So like now we have like American fast food and all that kind of stuff.
Sorry,
but it was
yeah.
I know, right?
It's yeah. Only it's export.
Not, you still you're repping Kenya. Do you go back? Do you still have family there?
I don't know if I can rep Kenya that much as a white guy, you know. But
yeah, I mean, you live there, you raised.
My parents were both born and raised there, and they like speak fluent Swahili, and like
that's
they kind
awesome.
Of grew up in a different
awesome.
Time. Yeah. I used to joke that you could technically call me African American, but now I just joke yeah. about how I used to joke about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably a better call.
Yeah.
But are they still there? Do you still have family?
No, actually, they eventually moved over here, but we go back a lot pretty often.
Now they live in Ohio.
North Carolina, actually. Oh, okay. Gotcha. A little more interesting.
Thousand times more interesting than Ohio.
We already have Kansas, Greg, and I feel like it could be yeah, a bit when it's
Kansas,
one very
Ohio,
specific
the,
thing.
It's just that funny thing of like, everyone knows go. Kansas sucks and shits on it.
Here we go.
Next to everybody else just forgets about Ohio.
It's kind of become you know the mean? New thing to shit on, though, Ohio. It's like the meme is like, people will post TikToks of like the view from my Ohio apartment, and it's just like the most dreary, like bleak thing. With like amazing music.
Well, it's because Drew Carey tricked a lot of people to move there back in the day, you know?
All right.
Yeah. Cleveland Rocks, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people thought they were going to go there, have a beer that had caffeine and beer in it, but they didn't, did they?
It's just a waste.
What?
Remember this? This is a plot point of the Drew Carey show. They had a caffeinated beer.
What episode was that? Can we look that up?
Like, it's the entire fucking run of the show. You know what I mean? Buzz Beer, I think they called it.
That sounds like a golden ticket idea.
Maybe it isn't. Anyways, Ohio sucks. Not as much as Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week, we come to you with a brand new show about whatever it is we want to talk about. If you want to talk with us, of course, you can write in to be part of the show and usually get ignored on kindoffunny.com/KF podcast. We had some good ones, but we never needed them. You know what I mean? Sorry, Josh, the mailman chatmon.
Ooh, the pussy no pasa.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny Podcast ad-free. You can also go there to get a whole bunch of exclusive bonus content. You can watch us record the shows live as we record them. Of course, you get that for the other podcasts as well. And of course, you can just get some exclusive merch or have a good time. If you have no bucks, toss our way. It's no big deal. Each and every week, there's a brand spanking new episode with ads up on youtube.com/kindoffunny in podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you so much for supporting it. Carter, thank you for all the music you've brought to our lives. Where should people keep up with you?
Let's see. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Carter Harrell. That's H-A-R-R-E-L-L. If there are any, you know, cute single ladies out there, my phone number is 91. No, I'm kidding. No, yeah, that's about it.
What about, so like, you put up the cool thing with the GameCube and the, is that what your Instagram usually is?
Yeah, although, you know, to be honest, I'm not the best poster. I'm kind of like a once a month kind of guy.
That's fine.
Which, yeah,
I mean, you just saw Cody Hagler. Don't worry. Yeah, yeah. You can't be worse than that.
Cody said, you know what I mean? I lost an elevator. We go look for the elevator. It's fucking nothing. He's got a phone booth. Like,
what Cody Hagler out there with Kansas internet and an Ohio education trying to post to Instagram.
He's like,
know?
Check out this elevator. It's just the rock. Just a little rock.
There's a great old joke. I think it's Mitch Hedberg who says that, like, when escalator breaks, it should say temporarily stairs, right?
Sorry for the convenience.
Sorry for the convenience. That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time.
Cody.
It's been our pleasure to serve you. He got what he wanted. I followed him.